It was time to teach my son how to drive. He had that temporary license, you know, where he could drive with another driver. And so I drove him over to a completely vacant parking lot nearby where we lived. And I let him experience maneuvering the car for the very first time. Driving in circles. Making some lefts. Making some right turns, you know. And backing up. Trying to park, all those things, and it was awkward and sloppy at first, as you might expect, but he was starting to get the hang of it, and he got more and more confident. And finally, after we'd been there for quite a while, it was time to return home, and I said, okay, drive us home. And he wasn't ready for that. Me? You want me to drive? You out on the streets, you know? I said, it's time. You can do it. You know, you've got to start sometime, so go ahead, do it. And he was very hesitant and nervous, but he did it. He got us home safely, and we did fine, and it was just time for him to take that step. We've all come through those momentous intersections in our life when it's time to take action. It's time to start that exercise and diet regimen. Or it's time to retire. Or it's time to change jobs or start a job. Or it's time to move into assisted living at a home. Or it's time to confront your friend about his or her bad behavior. And it's been going on too long. It can't go on any longer. It's time to break that bad habit of your own. It's time to step up and lead and serve for the Lord. It's time. This morning, we begin a series of messages that gets in our face a bit. And it's time. And there may be some things that you've been avoiding or neglecting, and you know it. And it's time to address them. The time is ripe for some new beginnings and for the purposes of God to come to fruition in your personal life and mine and in the Western Hills Church together. God's going to speak to us through the extraordinary life and message of John the Baptist. What a unique character, one of the most amazing characters in all the Bible. Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest man ever born. Up to that time, John the Baptist was the greatest man ever born. John said, after me comes one who is greater than I. He was talking about Jesus. And then Jesus said, John's the greatest man ever born. And then he said that the least in the kingdom is greater than John. The least in this new kingdom is going to be greater than even John. John the Baptizer's message and life were about announcing the arrival of God's kingdom. He was preparing people. It was a time to repent, to boldly confront and point people to Jesus and find reassurance in our doubts. And that's what John did with great passion and boldness, great humility and daring. And as I look at the state of our current culture and the calling of our church in this particular community, I have to say, it's time. It is time. Time to be like John. Time to realign our lives, to direct as many people towards Christ and His kingdom as we can. The need is great. The time is now. The first thing that John makes clear is that it's time for repentance. For our repentance personally, and to call other people to repentance. It's not a message our culture wants to hear, but it is time. Matthew chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2 reports, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent. That was his message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. John got in people's faces. He got right up in their faces and said, stop it. Stop what you're doing. Stop it right now. That's basically what he was saying. He said it with passion and conviction. Now, he wasn't trying to be mean to people or offend people. That's not what he was trying to do. He really cared about the well-being of his listeners, and he was simply delivering the message that God had sent him to preach. And so today, if we look at our lives and we look at our world, we have to admit it is time for repentance. So let's walk through John's message in Luke 3's account to hear and apply the message of repentance. If you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 3. Starting with verse 1. In the 15th year, the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, and during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. And he went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads will become straight, the rough ways will become smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation. Now that's quite a profound statement, an exciting time. And the first thing I want you to understand is the preparation for repentance is open your heart. Open your heart. You know, if we're not open, we're not going to begin to change spiritually as we need to. Verse 2 of Luke 3 makes an interesting statement. The word of God came to John in the wilderness. Now, this was a fulfillment of prophecy, which Luke quotes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. If you look back in Luke chapter 1, it records a visit of the angel Gabriel to John's father, Zechariah. Zechariah and Elizabeth were going to have a son who would be God's voice to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah King. And so John withdrew from the norms of society in preparation for his ministry. He lived apart from people, a very unique life, in desolate places, in the desert in fact, dressed in camel's hair. He ate honey and locusts. He touched no fermented drink at all in his life. His life was dedicated to the purposes of the Lord. And while he was in the wilderness, gearing up for this mission, living there, that's when God's word came to him. It was time. It was time to preach repentance. And I got to thinking that sometimes the word of God comes to us in our wilderness. When we're going through maybe some rugged seasons. Or times when we are most hungry and thirsty and God speaks. His will may become clearest to us in our times away from all the rush and all the busyness and all the distractions and noise of life. Sometimes I hear God best and the mission becomes clearest to me when I simplify, when I get away from the world, when I'm able to really focus on Him. And sometimes in my desert times, it becomes painfully clear what I really need to change and correct in my life. John knew what he must say to the multitudes. Get ready. Repent. The need for the people was to turn their hearts to the Lord and be ready for the Messiah. And if we want to get ready for the Lord in our lives and really walk with Him, if we want to get our lives in order, we must cultivate our hearts for spiritual revival. Life change can't happen if our hearts are closed to the Lord or if we're preoccupied by all the stuff of this world. John was especially challenging the self-righteous Pharisees and Sadducees because they were so hard-hearted, they just weren't listening. They weren't willing to adjust their thinking at all. They weren't ready to change their misguided beliefs, their trust in their personal lineage to Abraham or their good deeds. They did not repent. They did not accept Jesus as the Christ and Savior. Many times through the years, I've encountered individuals who keep coming up with obstacles for them to believe. You know, they have these questions, you know, and when I answer those doubts, they just come up with more. They just keep manufacturing other things. And there's nothing wrong with wrestling with doubts. There's nothing wrong with working through objections to faith. We need to do that. But when is enough evidence enough? You know, that's what someone asked Lee Strobel one day. He was an atheist. who was seeking to disprove resurrection in the Christian faith. But all he found was that all the evidence was overwhelmingly supportive for belief. It was reasonable to believe. And so someone said, when is enough enough? And he could no longer deny the truth. And he's today a strong defender of the faith. Here's the deal. Repentance, real life change can come when we open our hearts to spiritual realities. When we humble ourselves and are willing to listen to the Word of God and let it speak to our lives. And I'm hoping that our worship singing today and this message from God's Word and the circumstances of your life are all converging together so the Holy Spirit can soften your will and make you receptive to the wonderful changes that God wants to bring about in your life, the next steps that you need to take. And so we got to be open. John's message was repentance, but why? Why now? Why now? Well, the reason for repentance is see the kingdom. That's what John said, see the kingdom. The time had come. The pinnacle of history was unfolding in their midst. There was a great reason to repent. Matthew's account says plainly, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea saying, repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is near. It's time. It's here. Brenda, Caleb, and I visited the ruins of Pompeii a couple weeks ago, and it was so fascinating, quite impressive, quite disturbing. And the city was buried unexpectedly in lava and ash from the volcanic eruption of Mount Vesuvius. And when the time came, there was no opportunity for these people to flee, and most of them died very rapidly in extreme surges of heat, upwards to 500 degrees, you know, and they just couldn't survive that. And so now, today, the excavations have recovered various corpses found in various postures, but some of them, as you can see in the picture, are praying postures. Because you know what? Dreadful calamity prompts repentance. But John's message was really different than that. He wasn't bringing bad news. The end has come. Yeah, that isn't what he was saying. He was bringing good news. A beginning has come. The kingdom of Christ was arriving. And therefore, repent. Get your life together. Make a shift to become part of this kingdom. It was only bad news if you didn't repent. For centuries, God had promised that he was sending this Messiah King, who would be a blessing for all people everywhere in his glorious kingdom. And even though the Jews had a misunderstanding of what this kingdom would really entail, they did understand that it would certainly be wonderful, and it was really the highest hope that they have. It was their confident dream that would sustain them through all the things all the ordeals through history. Most of the people who were hearing John wanted to be ready for the king's arrival, and so they gladly repented and submitted to baptism when John emphatically announced from Mark 1:15, the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Our reason today for repenting is the same. It's the same reason that John gave. It's the kingdom. Jesus Christ the King has indeed come. And he's died for our sins and conquered the grave. He's our risen Lord. And he's made us a part of his kingdom of light. This powerful, invincible kingdom. This eternal, glorious kingdom full of spiritual riches. A united but diverse kingdom that blends every tribe, language, and nation, every generation, every walk of life, and regardless of sins and background. And it's a kingdom of grace, you see. None of us deserves to be a part of this kingdom, but he makes us a part. And that's why we repent. Not to qualify, not out of fear, but we repent because in response to his amazing grace. The king's laid down his life for us so that we can be a part of this kingdom. And the wonders of this kingdom, they far surpass any of the kingdoms or riches or empires of this world. Did you watch the royal wedding? royal wedding with all the grand, dreamy, opulent, luxurious thing, you know, a lifestyle that the masses only dream about. Oh, that would be so cool. But you know what? The truth is, it's temporary trinkets and trash compared to the marvels and wonders of the kingdom of our Lord. And I have to ask you today, what kind of kingdom are you after? What kind of kingdom do you long for? What do you want to be a part of? A kingdom of this world? Or the lasting kingdom of our Lord? What John was announcing to this wrecked and weary world is that God's new world is here now. A kingdom that transcends this world. And with the coming of Jesus, we start to hear words that were never spoken before. Words of life and love and new beginning. Words like, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Words like, your faith has made you well. Words like, your sins are forgiven. Or even, Lazarus, come forth. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. And those impossible words of hope, he is not here. He's risen. It's a new world now in Jesus Christ. And John wasn't the only one to preach this message. Jesus and his apostles took up the cause and they proclaimed the exact same message as John. Matthew 4:17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Isn't that the same thing that John said? Jesus even rebuked some of the hard-hearted cities, like Capernaum, as well as the stubborn, prideful Pharisees, because they would not repent and believe, clinging to their traditions, their self-righteousness. They were missing out on the incomparable kingdom of Jesus. And I have to say, swallow your pride and open your heart and open your eyes to see the kingdom of Christ. It's going to change everything. It'll change you. It'll change our world. Tim Keller compares it to your friend who might be in the process of dying of cancer, and you accompany her to another doctor to get a second opinion, and that doctor confirms that indeed it's cancer, it's going to kill you, but the doctor says, I can cure you, I'll give you the remedy, but there's just one thing, you'll never be able to eat chocolate again. And you turn to your friend and say, isn't that great? And your friend says, no chocolate? Forget it. You say, are you crazy? What are you thinking? Just chocolate. The kingdom is too glorious to miss out on the temporal pleasure. You know, the kingdom is too glorious. Miss out on those temporal pleasures. You know, it's okay. The consequences are too grave. Repent. Repent. And so the message of John was, it's good too. Good news. It's time. The kingdom has arrived in the person of Jesus. And the appropriate response to the kingdom then is that repentance. And so the message of repentance is change your mind. Change your mind. That's literally what repent means. When you see that word in the Bible, repent means to change your mind. It's a reversal. It's a shift in thinking, a shift in focus and perspective and values, a shift in priority and belief and commitment. We abandon our way for the way of God. We turn from a works mindset to grace, from rebellious to obedient, from self-serving to God-serving, from worldly to godliness. We drive a stake in the ground and we say, for me, it's time. It's time. From this day forward, I'm following Jesus. And you know what? We all know the things that stand between us and Him. The things that are getting in the way. John knew that for the Jews, they needed to change their thinking from a law-keeping mindset to a grace mindset. They were so encumbered by never being good enough, by never being able to live up to the law and the traditions of their religion. They needed the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. They needed forgiveness and a new start. And John knew they needed a more accurate concept about what God's kingdom was, a broader scope of who would even be a part of that kingdom. And John knew they needed to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love their neighbors as well. To be ready to receive Christ in His kingdom, they needed to change their minds, to repent. And so do we. Researcher Christian Smith found that many American adults today have a Christian faith that is characterized by moralistic, therapeutic deism. What in the world is that? Well, according to this kind of thinking, if we live good lives and if we are kind to others, then God's going to provide some therapeutic benefits to us, like self-esteem and happiness. But other than that, God's really not all that involved in our world. Now, if you're thinking like that, people seldom pray prayers of repentance. That's not on their wavelength. Even more prevailing than that is the relativistic mindset that allows people to excuse themselves from any guilt by establishing their own personal standards of right and wrong. I do what's right for me. I do what's right for me. But deep down, we all know something is wrong inside. It's time to repent. Repentance is a much needed thing. It's a wonderful thing. Now, it's a hard thing because there's a lot of things we don't want to relinquish. But kingdom blessings flow when we repent and let Jesus be Lord of our lives. We gain exceedingly more when we're willing to give up and surrender to Jesus. Peter urged, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That sounds so good to me. Now, as John was addressing the crowds, we have a sampling of the kinds of things that he said, some diverse people groups that are addressed. And it underscores that the call to repentance is really for everyone. Because he spoke to the Pharisees and the religious leaders in Matthew 3:7. In Luke 3:19, he spoke this message to Herod, the king, the tetrarch. He spoke to ordinary folks in regards to their belongings in Luke 3:11, to the tax collectors in Luke 3:12, to the Roman soldiers in Luke 3:14. And again, that's just a sampling, but the point is that every walk of life, every ethnicity, every level of faith, every relationship with God, everyone, we all have ways that we need to change and align ourselves with the Lord. Change your life. Stop pretending as if God has not come in the person of Jesus to establish His kingdom. Stop pretending as if your life is all about you. Because when you realize that God's new kingdom starts now, it changes the way you're going to live. And it changes your priorities and your relationships and your habits and how you go about everything you do. For months, the leadership team of elders and ministers of our church have been scrutinizing and evaluating and brainstorming and listening to God and revisioning and strategizing for our church, for our next steps. And we're getting close to finalizing some new plans that we're going to unveil for you in the coming weeks and in the next couple months. And so I hope you'll keep praying about that. But as I review all the results of our intense labor so far, one thing stands out to me. One thing is so evident to me is that we can come up with all the best plans. We can come up with all kinds of strategies and programs for our next steps. We can come up with some great stuff. But friends, there will be no change. There will be no success in the mission unless each of us repents. Unless each of us changes our minds. We can't keep doing church and doing Christianity like we've been doing. It can't stay the same. We all have to change our minds and renew the way we think and do and follow. We are all going to have to think and live more purposefully, more missionally, take more personal responsibility in discipling others and bringing glory to God. All of us. And perhaps if we would all make that commitment of repentance today, revival beyond what we ever could imagine would begin now. We've got to change our minds. But there must also be the fruit of repentance. And that is to align your behavior with the Lord. Repentance is not just something that we decide in our hearts and minds to do one day. It starts in the mind, but true repentance is always evident in the way we live. It gets translated into our lifestyles. And John says exactly that in his powerful message. Chapter 3 of Luke, verse 8. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. In line with the way you've changed your mind to align with Christ. Produce fruit, he says. The axe, he says, for I tell you that out of the stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. You know, I love that Jesus didn't condemn that woman who was caught in adultery, but he said, go and sin no more. You see, Jesus loves us as we are. That's his amazing grace. But he loves us so we won't stay the way we are. He doesn't want us to be content with where we're at right now even. See, we can't earn, diminish, or increase his love and commitment to our well-being. But friends, repentance is our loving response to his love. We can't reduce the message of the kingdom to be only about grace. Jesus' desire for us is holistic. It's not just about us receiving salvation and forgiveness. It's about total transformation. Repentance always accompanies grace. And so the people replied to John's exhortation. He said, produce fruit. And so they said, what shall we do? What should we do, John? John then insightfully addressed various individuals in the crowd and personalized in practical ways that they could demonstrate repentance. Let's take a look. Chapter 3, verse 11. John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none. The one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? They wanted to personalize this repentance. Don't collect any more than you're required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, what should we do? And he replied, don't extort money. Don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Now, in our context, we might say, John might say to the factory worker, hey, put in a full and honest day's work for your pay, even when the boss isn't looking, or even when the boss isn't treating you justly or giving you too much to do, whatever it is, you still do a good day's work. To the CEO, he might say, don't get rich taking advantage of your employees and don't lord it over them. Edify the workers to make them the most productive that they can be. Remember that money isn't everything. To parents, he might say, hey, stop letting the happiness of your children rule your home. Don't get too busy to neglect your kids, but don't exasperate your kids with heavy restrictions, and don't let them do everything they want either. Raise them to know the Lord with love and discipline. To a police officer, he might say, you know, I know it's dangerous for you out there, and we're all grateful for what you do. So be careful, but be careful also to treat everyone with respect and safety. To politicians, he might say, stop lying and promising, stand up for what's right, and so on. You get the idea. He personalizes it. And I suspect the Holy Spirit is scrutinizing your inner life with a bright, exposing searchlight right this moment, and it's uncomfortable. And the rats are scurrying for cover. There's stuff that you don't want to deal with. that you don't want anybody to know about, stuff you don't want to change, but there it is. God knows about it, and He's pointing it out to you right now. And you know you can't live the life of a disciple in Christ's kingdom and let these sins remain in your life. And it might not be something so over, it might be something you're neglecting to do that you know you should do for the Lord that you've not been doing. Now, the alternative to repenting is just to stay the way you are now. Remain in your comfort zone right now. Remain in your sin and with all the consequences that go with it. Or you can repent and align your life with Jesus and His kingdom. It's up to you. The need's great. AshleyMadison.com launched a website in 2001 as a place for people to go if they wanted to cheat on their spouse or significant other. Their marketing slogan was, "Life is short, have an affair." Can you imagine? And this included, of course, the promise of confidentiality, privacy, all that. But their Ashley Madison database was hacked. Their secrets were distributed in public domain, exposing the secret lives of a staggering 30 million individuals here in the U.S. 30 million. The population of the United States is only 325 million. That means almost 1 in 10 people in our country were implicated in this scandal. You likely know someone who was outed in this exposure. Well, here's the point. It's not just about this particular sin. The need for repentance is pervasive. It's for all humanity. It's for all sin. It's for everyone who claims to be a Christian. Right here. It's for all of us. The Museum of Failure is a rare collection of more than 100 innovation failures. I didn't know this existed, but it is. It travels to a city near you. I mean, it's a traveling thing, too. But for every successful product put on the market, there are many failures behind it. And the Museum of Failure exhibits an interesting array of products that somehow went horribly wrong. Visitors find everything from abandoned tech gadgets like Apple Newton and Google Glass to food items like Coca-Cola Black or Blake or something like that, coffee-flavored soft drink, or orange juice cereal, or Heinz green ketchup, or Swedish fish Oreos, yuck, or frozen lasagna dinner that's made by Colgate toothpaste, you know, you sign up for that. But I'm afraid that our lives are museums of failure, an array of sins that are on display. And it's time, brothers and sisters, it's time for our lives to be a compelling exhibit of the transforming power of Jesus Christ. So I entreat you, please repent. Our lives should look different than everybody else in the world. We should stand out because of Jesus in our lives, because we've turned over our lives to Him. And there's a change in purposefulness when we repent. Jesus says, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And so Jesus took these skilled fishermen and then he transformed them so that they could fish for people and bring God's new world into their lives. And he changes us as we open our hearts and as we change our minds and we begin to align our behavior with him. And he'll take your abilities. Like maybe you have an ability in the kitchen or with art or athletics or finances, or maybe you're just good at being friendly or running a business or teaching or mechanics or computers or music or showing compassion or parenting or problem solving. Maybe you're good at talking. Maybe you're good at listening. Whatever it is, God takes those things and He can make those things into a way for you to be an eternal blessing in someone else's life. It's time that we just turn things over and align with Him. And allow ourselves to be used for His purposes. Friends, it is time to repent, for the kingdom is here. It's here, and our world needs to be a part of this kingdom. Lord, we come into this encounter time and your Spirit's convicting us of things that need to change in our lives, and we know we are not perfectly aligned with you. And we pray that we would open our hearts and open our eyes and align our actions, align our minds with you, so that when people begin to know us, they begin to see you on display. We're ashamed and we're sorry for the things that we should have done but we haven't done. For the things we've done that we know we shouldn't have done. We're sorry when the mission hasn't been first in our lives. We just kind of go to church. We're so busy with so many different things. We don't even take time to pray or read our Bibles or share a good conversation with someone about Jesus. We fail to help a brother in need when they're really needing help. We hoard our money for ourselves for our own purposes. There's so many things, Lord, that need to change in our lives. And so we humbly come before you and we say, I repent. We're making no more excuses. No one else to blame. We want to come give our lives to you. We want you to take over. In Jesus' name, amen. So our time around the Lord's table today, I hope it will be a time of repentance for you. The table set as you remember the sacrifice Christ made for you to bring you into his kingdom. And so when you're ready, you can serve yourself in the four corners of the room. And if someone needs help, bring them some emblems so that they can participate. Maybe there's someone today who needs to say, I believe in Jesus and I'm repenting of the old way and I want to give my life to him and be baptized today. So if you want to do that, John said, repent and be baptized. Jesus said, repent and be baptized. I want to encourage you to do that today.